Good morning. I'm going to shock you all this morning. I'm going to tell you that I have faults in my life. I know that'll be shocking because you wouldn't think a guy like me would have faults, but I do. I have little idiosyncrasies that just drive people bats. Keep my wife up at night. If it's not snoring, I'm moving my legs all the time, according to her. Sometimes I am a little short-tempered. I have a short fuse. Sometimes I have a lazy side that just doesn't ask my son, my youngest son, who when I come home from work, he's just wanting to go out and crawl underneath the truck and start slapping parts on it. And I'm just lazy. I don't want to do that. I don't know if it's lazy or the fact that it was 15 degrees and the garage was cold, but he doesn't understand that yet. But I have faults, and I make mistakes. We all have faults in our lives. If we don't think we have faults in our lives, we have a fault in our lives because we don't think we have faults in our lives. Sometimes we aggravate people. Sometimes we annoy people. Sometimes we do it just because we think we can. That's a fault. If I know I can get underneath somebody's skin, like my youngest son, I'll do it. That's a fault I have. Sometimes I turn people off. Sometimes I drive people away with my faults. But what is a true friend? A true friend is somebody that sees through your faults. Maybe he thinks, okay, he's doing this because he needs attention. Okay? Nathan, I need a lot of attention. So you got to give it to me. Maybe he needs guidance. Maybe he needs love. Maybe he needs a little bit of compassion. My faults start to come out because I may be asking for help from somebody. But that's my way of getting attention. I know when I aggravate my wife, I get a lot of attention. Not necessarily always positive. But then I also get love and compassion from her and from my family. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Toward the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. If not for grace, my soul would be a drifting ship with no safe harbor from the angry waves. But Calvary's cross shines brightly through the darkest storm, and just in time, His mercy rescues me. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to know the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. God saw I had faults. God knew before I was born 50 years ago that I would have faults. God knew when He created this earth that mankind would have faults and would need help. And as a result, God had to take drastic action. When God created the heavens and the earth and man and all the beautiful things around, God knew there wasn't going to be much after that. You know, when I built my house 25 years ago, I assume that house is still going to be standing in another 50 years when I'm not around for my kids to be enjoying. If I'd have built my house 25 years ago, figuring, okay, it's 2014, my house is going to crumble to the ground, I wouldn't have spent the $100,000 or whatever I spent on my house building it. That would have been futile. But when God built this magnificent earth, this magnificent heavens and earth that we have, and put man on it, He knew before He ever put man where He put him that there would be a fault in man, and there would be a need that had to be fulfilled. And man has been proving God right ever since. Ever since Adam and Eve took of the fruit that the serpent tempted them with, man has been testing God from then on. But God knew that man would have a need. How do I know that? Because it tells me that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a command, this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God saw the world had faults. God saw that mankind, now, I can't blame the world, it's mankind. The mankind had faults, and mankind needed somebody to come to them and fulfill that need. And this is something that's been going on for a long time. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him into a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked up, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereof thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, as he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land, and to a good land, and a large unto it, and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? God saw a need. God had put His children in bondage for disobedience. But yet, God saw the need. He saw the abuse they were taking. He saw the troubles they were going through, and He heard their cry, and He was going to deliver them. God saw the need, and God fulfilled that need. He looked beyond the faults of the children of Israel. Did He not know when He let the children go the troubles He was going to have in the next number of years? It wasn't going to be an easy trip. They were going to doubt God all along the way. They were going to test God. But He looked beyond those faults, and He saw a need. He had to get them out of there in order for them to be saved. God saw that need. And God has been seeing the need ever since in the people of this earth, in the people that He has created, and in me. Can we doubt the fact that God gives us all the attention we need? I don't think so. I can't doubt the fact that God gives me all the guidance I need. He gives me the love and He gives me the compassion. But I need to be willing to see that He is trying to fulfill my need. He's looking beyond my faults and trying to fulfill my needs. Matthew chapter 9, starting in the first verse. This is an example of Christ. Matthew chapter 9, starting in the first verse. And Christ fulfilling a need, looking beyond the faults and fulfilling a need. Matthew chapter 9, starting in the first verse. And he entered, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he rose and departed to his house. They brought a sick man to Christ who had the palsy, who was confined to bed. All they wanted to see Christ heal him. What did Christ do? He looked beyond the man's faults and he said, Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's not what the man was expecting to hear, I don't think. The man and the people around were expecting to hear, Well, take up thy bed and walk. Christ knew that. But he looked beyond the faults of that man. You know, the things that man had done in his life. The man didn't come to Christ say, Forgive my sins. He wanted to be saved. Christ looked beyond those faults and said, Thy sins be forgiven thee. Christ had compassion on that man. Christ had, he gave them attention. He gave him the love that he needed. He didn't say, Take up your bed and walk. That would have done the man a world of good, and it did eventually. But yet that man needed to hear something else. He needed to hear, Thy sins be forgiven thee. Somebody thought deeper than just the fact that he was a sick man. He needed some real attention given to him, and Christ gave that to him. And Christ does the same thing for me. When I was born 50 years ago, I wonder why God even took the chance. He had his hands full. He still got his hands full. Trouble is, he's given Lisa to me now and my kids to help him with his handful of troubles that Doug's going to bring to him. But seriously, God had his hands full with me because I went through a lot of things in my life, and most of us have gone through a lot of things in our lives. But he saw beyond my faults and saw that I had a need. And that need was brought forth to us earlier when he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to save me if I would only follow him. When I walked into Goodwin Tucker 20 years ago, I knew nothing about what I was doing at Goodwin Tucker. You could say I had more faults than anything, and they took a chance on me. You don't know anything. I couldn't even tell you how to open up a microwave, let alone read a meter. They took a chance on me 20 years ago. Word has it the guy that hired me said he won't last 6 months. Well, I've lasted 19 years, 6 months longer than that, so... if I can get another 12 out of it, I might decide it's time to enjoy retirement. No, I'm just joking. I won't retire. I don't want to retire yet. I'm not looking forward to that yet. But they took a chance on me. I was full of faults, but I have a lot less faults. But they saw a need that needed to be fulfilled in that company, and they thought, he has potential. Boy, if they only knew. No, I'm just joking. But I think that's what God does with me. He looks beyond my faults, and he says, That man has potential. That man had potential. Even after I did some of the silly things I did back in my early 20s and 18s and 19s and 20s and 30s when I was sitting doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Even after professing to be a follower of him and falling away. He looked beyond those faults and he saw my need. My need was always to have Christ in my life. And I think as a result of that, he sent the people that he sent into my life. People ask me, how'd you make it to Iowa? I said, well, it's such a beautiful place to live, you know, with all the corn and the field of dreams. No, I don't say that. I say my wife's father was working out there at the church, and they decided to move back, and I kind of tagged along. But then I caveat that with, if I'd have stayed out there, I probably wouldn't be the person I am today because I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. So God put people into my lives He saw beyond my faults and saw the need, and that need was people in the church to help me along. Marvin and Melda may still be shaking their head and wondering why they called me out. If I'll let me come out here, but no. Even after I called up this morning and said, by the way, you can cook me some fried chicken for lunch, I'll supply the chicken, and she said, okay, so I know how to. She knows how chicken, what chicken means to me, fried chicken. Well, that's what God thought about me. God knew what I meant to Him, and He supplied the need that my life I had in my life. We need Christ in our lives. Why? Because He is the only one that can look beyond our faults and set us free. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God saw me when I was straying from Him, but He knew I had hope. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I deal a lot with equipment in my job. Man, I hear a lot of the L word used when I go to work on a new piece of equipment. If somebody spends $50,000 on a piece of equipment and it breaks down 2 days after they get it, boy, they start throwing the lemon word at you real quick. Because they want a brand new piece of equipment. This thing's junk. This thing just ain't worth the powder and lead to blow it up with. Well, I go in and I fix it, and then they're all happy again. Well, I wonder how many times God's looked at me and wondered, boy, do I have a lemon on my hands there? Because I'm pretty sure I was a lemon in God's eyes for a lot of times. And I probably still am today. I'll go out and do something stupid tomorrow, and probably God will think, well, do I got me a lemon here or what? But God looks beyond those faults of mine and sets me free. James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he tells us, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Blake, Allison, Isaac, Cole, Carson, they don't know the difference between good and evil right now. They know somewhat when Blake does something and Grandpa snaps and says something. Blake knows enough that, oops, I might have messed up. But yet, he'll go over and he'll sit in the corner and he'll put it. So the other night I got on him for something and he stuck his head down in the corner by the TV stand and kind of pouted for a little bit. And then he starts crying and that just tears Grandpa up at that point in time. Grandpa's got to go love up on him. Well, how often do I do that in God's eyes? How often does God have to smack me down and let me know I've done something wrong? Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to go over and am I going to hide in the corner and pout about it? Or am I going to go try to find Grandpa like Blake does and find Grandpa and see if Grandpa will pick him up and make love with him again? You know, make all happy and go watch cars with him or whatever he does in the car, you know, at the house. Well, that's what I'll do. And it makes him feel better. But hopefully, eventually, he'll learn to understand that you don't do certain things. But yet I'm still learning you don't do certain things. And God still has to maybe come up and put his arm around me once in a while and say, okay, I know you messed up, but yet I'm still going to do it again probably because I am human. Because I know to do good and do it not, to me it is sin. Matthew chapter 5, starting the 29th verse. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. I'm pulling this out of context, but just using a couple of verses here. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I have faults in my life. I have things I need to get rid of. But until I remove myself from those things, I'm going to continue to have those faults in my life. If I know I have influences in my life that are negative, then I need to get away from those. Which is probably why I don't look forward and I'm never really thinking about going back to my 40th or 50th high school reunion at Northwest High School. Because there wasn't a person that I hung out with that had any form of religion in their lives. Now, I may be thinking they don't yet, but I'm kind of thinking probably half my class is either dead or in jail by now with the guys I hung out with. And everybody's shaking their head. Yes, because they know the reputation of Northwest High School. Okay? But yet, that's why I don't worry about going back there. I've got family back there. I'll go see them. But I'm not going to go back and find those other influences that were having negative effects on my life. I need to pull myself away from those. And I need to get away from that. And that's what God did for us. He saw the need, and He fulfilled. He saw my fault beyond my faults, and fulfilled my need. He gave me my church family to give me something to fall back on. Now, you all can't go with me to work every day. There's not enough room in my van, for one thing, and I ain't got enough seat belts. But you can't all go to work with me. But boy, there's times I wish you were staying at a job site when I was having a little trouble with the job, because sometimes that little devil creeps in there and thinks, well, you know, maybe you ought to just throw a tool or you ought to say something. Well, I do a lot of damage if I do that, not to myself only, but to my company. Because if I say the wrong thing, or if I let a dirty word come out, I say something, let some four-letter words fly, what's going to happen? That customer's going to look at me like, well, what kind of professional is he? And then their next call is going to be to my boss. Or D, and they're going to complain. And D's going to look at me and say, that wasn't a very good reputation you're giving the company. Well, why would I think any less of my reputation than I'm giving God in my activities and my actions of what I do? So sometimes I think I need you guys to be with me. Maybe I call Mary Ellen, tell her to meet me down at Southridge or something, and she can stand by me while I work on that piece of equipment, or call Trent, have him come out there. But Trent may heckle me more than he helps me, so I'm not sure I'd want him there. I'm thinking Mary Ellen probably wouldn't heckle as much, but she'd probably get a pretty good laugh out of some of the things I do. But we need, being serious about it, we need to remove ourselves from those influences as much as we can, knowing that we can't remove ourselves completely. But God fulfilled the need. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. If God thought I was a lemon, then He would just give up on me. But God created this world, and He had a lemon right off the bat as far as that goes. I mean, man turned it into a lemon pretty quick, and God stuck with it. We have a phrase at work. It's called ASR, Additional Service Required. That is when I go out and I do a job, and for some reason, that piece of equipment just doesn't like me, and it breaks down again. It's not anything I did to it. Sure, because I'm good at what I do. I would never make a mistake. But it needs to be serviced again. It's called additional service required. How many times has Christ had to have additional service required on my soul and on my body and on my spiritual life? Because I strayed away or I forget. 6 days is a long time between Sundays. There's a lot of times I can make a mistake. That's why I think He brings them. No, that's why He brings us here on Sunday mornings, to do that additional service required on my body and on my soul, by reminding me just where my focus should be, because I have a lot of trouble focusing sometimes, and that's where He brings it into us. Matthew chapter 19, starting in the 16th verse. Matthew chapter 19, starting the 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Sometimes we let the things we have access to in our lives overshadow the thing that we should have in our lives. The things in our lives make us comfortable, make us happy, make us feel good, but yet they shouldn't overcome that thing that we have in our lives. And I don't want to call it a thing, but that's the best I can come up with, the thing. That thing is Christ's love for us. That thing is the fact that Christ looked beyond my faults and saw a need in me. So I need to come to Him. But yet, when I'm willing to let the things of this world overshadow that, then I'm going to require some additional service from Christ. But that service only comes when I go to Him and ask for that repair to be done. Okay? I have to go to ask. You know, a piece of equipment is going to call me up and say, Doug, by the way, I'm going to break down tomorrow. You better just plan on coming back. It's going to break down. I can go to Christ and say, I broke down. I need some help. And he already knows I had the mistake. He already knows I made the mistake. It ain't like He's going to go, well, I never saw that one coming. Because He saw it coming. But He's willing to give us that additional service that we need. In John chapter 8, the first 11 verses, when the woman was brought to Him in adultery, she'd committed a crime that was worthy of death. They were right up to that point in time. But Christ looked beyond the fault. Okay, she's done something wrong. He looked beyond the fault. And He said, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. She could have been killed for what she did, but Christ looked beyond her faults and said, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Christ looked beyond the faults and saw there might be a chance for this woman that was caught in adultery. And then He made the other ones look bad because He knew they had faults in their lives, and He brought those faults out. Okay, you've got faults. You have a need that needs to be handled. So don't bring this one to me. Because you have the same, you have faults in your life that need to be handled. And they went away sorrowing, or you know, He could have looked at every one of those people and said, Thy sins be forgiven thee, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. But they didn't give Him that opportunity. They went away sorrowing. They went away ashamed and embarrassed. And I can't walk away from God ashamed or embarrassed, because He's given me every opportunity to come back to Him and to have Him fix my life. God doesn't walk away, we walk away. Now, God doesn't come chasing after us, which wish He would sometimes, but God's not going to come chasing after us. God wants us to come back to Him, and He leaves the door open for us. Luke chapter 23, starting the 39th verse. Luke chapter 23. Starting in 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Two men hanging on the cross next to, on either side of Christ. All three condemned to die. Two of them justly. One, Christ, unjustly. But He was hanging there dying for our sins, for what we have done. But I wasn't alive then. But yet He saw beyond my need, my faults, and saw a need. Because He knew in 1961, Doug Fiorentino would come to this earth. And He was going to have His hands full for the next... Well, I'm not going away anywhere after 53. He's going to have His hands full for the next 40 years. Because I'm going to aggravate as many people as I can, as long as I can. That's what I'm good at. But He saw the need when He was hanging on the cross. And He saw the need of this one man. The man asked, "Can I be saved?" "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." How many times does Christ have to say that to me? I think I'll just hang out on my visor of my van when I go to work in the morning. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Because I ain't in paradise a lot of times when I'm at work. A lot of negative influences. But yet I am in paradise when I am with Christ. And I will be in paradise when I am with Christ. All I have to remember is He's willing to accept me if I will just come to Him. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. He's been seeing needs of people since the beginning of time. And He'll be seeing needs in people until the end of time. And I'll be one of the people He sees that need for. As we come to the conclusion of this service, we're always asked to examine ourselves and realize that He does see beyond our faults and see that there is a need. And because there was that need, He gave us, as we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, He sent His Son to this earth to die that we would have a chance at eternal life. But we have to be willing to walk away from the influences that are keeping us away from Him and come back to Him. But if we will do that, He'll look beyond our faults and He'll see that need, and that need is for us to have Him in our lives. So if we have not accepted Christ at this point in time in our lives, we're always given an opportunity to be baptized, to have our past life washed away, and to start anew. And if for some reason we have fallen away, or we've stumbled, and we think we need to come back to Him, we're always given that opportunity as we stand and sing the closing song.